Appreciate being here. Appreciate all the hospitality, all the wonderful food. Tonight's meal was the best so far, so it was wonderful. I tried as much as I could, and it was all good. Really appreciate the work that you put in through the week, cooking, cleaning up. I know a lot goes on behind the scenes, and I sure do appreciate your hearts and your friendship. And we enjoyed a trip today down to the glacier, and what a beautiful, beautiful trip, beautiful day we had. Just wonderful to be able to see God's creation, His goodness, His power. And tonight I'm excited to finish up looking at John chapter 4 again. I want to turn there, John chapter 4. Again, we're going to begin at verse number 25 with the woman, the last of the interaction with the woman with Christ. And last night we looked at our prejudices and how they hinder us from being involved in the harvest. Looking at the disciples and how they marveled that Christ talked with this Samaritan woman. And tonight we're going to look at the distractions that keep us out of the harvest. John chapter 4, starting in verse number 25. The woman saith unto him, I know the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? And the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for your word. I thank you for this account that we have tonight. I pray you'd speak to our hearts through it. I pray that you would deal individually with us tonight. The things that hinder us from being used by you, I pray that you would just make them very clear, point them out to us. And throughout this coming month, Father, throughout each day, I pray that you would just remind us of those things that we do that hinder your using us in the harvest. And Lord, I pray you would bless this church. Father, I thank you for her, and I pray that you would bless each of the members. Father, for those that are visiting here, that live here, I pray that you would work in their heart. Father, help them to see the blessing this church is. And Father, we know that you are the one that adds to a church body. And Lord, I pray that your spirit will work and lead and guide, and that you would be glorified, just how you work through every life here. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at this passage of Scripture this evening, a few things. As we look towards the end of the passage, in verse 36 through 38, when Jesus says that he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. I find it interesting here that Christ sent them to reap, and yet they weren't. They didn't reap. they may have wondered, what do you mean you sent us to reap? Maybe they had some assumptions that we were just going to get food. What do you mean you sent us to reap? Maybe they didn't feel qualified. John chapter 4, this is right at the end of about the first year of Christ's ministry. There's very little that we know about that year. I mean, you could take all the things we know about that first year of ministry, not including his time in the wilderness, his time in temptation, but outside of that, you can pack all that we know in about a week worth of time. If you take all the counts that we're given for that first year, we're not given a lot. These disciples here, they're disciples. They're following Christ, but it's later on when they're not in full time service, if you want to call it that, yet. They are disciples of Christ. They're learning from him. But we see, if we look at other accounts in the scriptures, Peter and Andrew, they're still fishing. And later on, Christ will go to them and go to James and John and tell them, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And immediately, it says they left their nets and followed him. That takes place after this time period. So this time period here, they're learning. They've seen him. They've seen his miracles. They were at the wedding there in Cana of Galilee. They saw him do that. Other things, we don't know all that he did in that first year. So they saw, they learned a lot. But maybe they thought, we're just not qualified. I don't know enough. And how sad it is when you do know enough. If you were saved yesterday, you know enough. If Christ sends you to reap, you know enough to reap because you know what God has done for you. And so we all know enough. We all have the understanding, but maybe they doubted their ability, or maybe they had their own agenda. And many times we have our agenda. We have what we're doing. Today, we went down to, where did we go? Kastner Glacier. That was our agenda today. And so we passed. We didn't talk to a lot of people. We stopped at Delta Junction, but we did cross paths with people. But we had an agenda. Did we witness to any? I didn't witness anyone. Didn't witness anyone at the store. Only when I talked to a young black lady that checked us out, talked with her as we're going out, didn't witness to her. Why? Well, we have an agenda. We have a time frame. We got to get going. We've already, we want to leave at 8. It was already 8:40 when we left. We're late. We have an agenda. And I'm getting firewood. I'm hunting. I'm banking. Whatever it is, I'm on lunch break. It's Tuesday. Great Commission Saturday is next week. That's the time I have set aside to be used of God. Okay, we have our own agenda many times, and yet Christ sent us to reap. In verse number 35, he says, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look unto the fields, for they are white already to harvest." A lot of times we delude ourselves thinking that we've got all the time in the world. The second coming, Christ's return, it's down the road. The people that we're dealing with, their soul's condition, hey, they can wait. They'll be ready. They'll be ready next week. I read a quote recently that said, God is the God of second chances, but you don't have a second chance to reap a ripe harvest. So we don't know God's timing. There's a song I love. I don't know if it's in your, I don't think it's in your hymnal. Maybe it is, but maybe you've heard it, "So Little Time." Well, you know that song, "So Little Time." Not very many of you know that song. Let me just read, I love this song. I won't sing it to you, but I'll read you a little bit of it. "So little time, the harvest will be over, our reaping done, we reapers taken home." We look forward to that time. "Report our work to Jesus, Lord of harvest, and hope he'll smile and that he'll say, well done. Today we reap or miss our golden harvest. Today is given us lost souls to win. Oh, then to save some dear ones from the burning. Today we'll go to bring some sinner in. How many times I should have strongly pleaded. How often did I fail to strictly warn. The Spirit moved. Oh, had I pled for Jesus. The grain is fallen. Lost ones not reborn. Despite the heat, the ceaseless toil, the hardship, the broken heart over those we cannot win, misunderstood because we're off peculiar, still no regrets we'll have but for our sin. A day of pleasure, or a feast of friendship, a house, or car, or garments fair, or fame, will all be trash when souls are brought to heaven, and then how sad to face the slacker's blame. The harvest white with reapers few is wasting, and many souls will die never know. The love of Christ, the joy of sins forgiven. Oh, let us weep and love and pray and go. We don't know. Jesus said, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I send you, lift up your eyes and look in the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. We need to get our mindset right, and not disregard the work that's right before our eyes. When these disciples came back to Christ, verse 32 and 34, warning him to eat, he says, I have meat to eat that you know not of. And they said, well, who gave you food? And that he says that when I have meat to eat that you know not of, that word know means to perceive with the eyes, to pay attention to observe, to have regard for, to examine, to know by experience. So Christ was doing a work that they weren't even paying attention to. They didn't get it. They didn't catch on what he was doing. You know, our kids do that a lot, don't they? You're working, you're doing something, and they come up and they start talking to you. They start doing something that's just messing up what you're doing. You know, my wife's folding clothes. She's got, you know, six mountains of, no longer mountains, now stacks, nicely folded clothes on the couch. And our kids come in and they jump on the couch to read, and the stacks fall over. And they sit there and they are doing things and they're kicking stacks off, and you're sitting there saying, what are you doing? Can't you see what your mom has just spent the last half hour trying to do, and now you just mess it all up? Pick it all up, fold it yourself now, and go on. So many times God is doing a work and we don't even recognize it. We don't recognize it. But these disciples, they were distracted. And they were distracted just like we get distracted. In verse number 31, as the woman is off into the city, telling her fellow Samaritans to come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. It says in verse number 31, in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. They come back from buying food. They marvel that Jesus spoke to this woman. There was no curiosity there. Evangelism didn't enter their mind. He says to them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. And here they're distracted. They don't even get what's going on. They're not paying attention. And it's very easy for us to get distracted. So what distracted them? What distracts us? We see one thing here that they're distracted by their passions. Verse number 31, in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, Master, eat. They had this focus on the physical. And so often we focus on the physical. We like what makes us comfortable. Food makes us comfortable. We enjoy eating. Today before we went out, we got parked, getting ready to hike up to the glacier, and the kids are diving into the food, and Jason's saying, can't you wait an hour? Let's eat when we get back. If you can't wait, we'll eat now, but let's just wait an hour. Can't you wait an hour? Well, most people, so I don't know, food's here in front of me right now. I can't wait an hour. We want to eat. We enjoy food. Food makes us comfortable. Lots of things make us comfortable. What satisfies your desires? Not just food, but all the things that satisfy your desires. Those are the things that so easily distract us. Very easily distract us. Paul brings up the subject, turn over to 1 Corinthians 7. Paul brings up the subject of marriage. Marriage is a distraction. In 1 Corinthians 7, verse number 32, He says, but I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. And Paul there is not saying what a horrible, sinful thing that is. He's just bringing out the facts. This is life. Marriage is blessed of God. We are so glad to be able to be here for Jordan's wedding. Marriage is blessed of God. God blesses marriage. But one of the facts of marriage is once you're married, as a single person, you can devote yourself to God. You don't have to worry if you're out late. I was with the, we had some folks in Washington, I think it was last summer, and there was in Vancouver, BC, there was a big Pride Fest, Pride Festival, and we thought, well, they were wanting, hey, let's go up there and hand out tracts and things like that, and if you know Canada, you don't do that. I mean, you can, but just having, I mean, if you got pulled over for a traffic stop and they find a book in your car that is, you know, what they would consider gay conversion, you can go to jail. Just having it in your car, not even doing anything with it. And they're like, well, let's go up there. And one of the guys was single, and myself and the other man was married, and like, well, we're willing to go. The one single guy's like, I don't care if they can put me in jail. He says, it doesn't matter. He didn't have an agenda back home. He didn't have anyone to go with me. Am I willing to go to jail for Christ? I am. Well, what comes to my mind? Yeah, I'm willing to go to jail, but I have a wife and children at home. And so that's with the single guy, that wasn't a thought. That wasn't anything that would hinder him. With me, that would cause me to stop and say, okay, I need to think about this. Is this what God wants me to do if I wouldn't be going to jail for a period of time? I had to think about it. Why? Because I'm married. In Luke 12, verse number 29, it says, seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. You eat and you drink. Those are things that we all need. He says, for all these things that the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. In Luke 21, verse 34, he says, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that that day cometh upon you unawares. Our passions, what we focus on, the physical, the things that we just, making our house nice. We're in the middle of a kitchen remodel. Our house was we bought a rental house. It was a duplex. Used to be a single family that converted to a duplex. We're converting it back. We had two kitchens upstairs, one kitchen downstairs. And so now we're tearing out the two kitchens. It's tore out. We don't have a kitchen upstairs anymore. And it's a mess. What are we trying to do? I'm making my house nicer. I'm making it so we don't have to walk between two small kitchens. And is there anything wrong with that? No. But guess what that kitchen is? It's a distraction. There's times that maybe I'll say, okay, today I'm going to work on that. Well, maybe I shouldn't work on it that day. Maybe I should say, you know what, honey, you can do without a sink and a stove and that. You can do without that for another month, whatever it might be. I need to go out. It's a distraction, but it's something that makes it, we all do that. We have a home, we have vehicles, we have things that we have in life that can be a distraction from the things of God. Are those things evil? They're not. But we need to be careful that they don't become a distraction. We also see that they're distracted by their pursuits. And when I say this, it's just the normal everyday agenda of the day. In verse number 32, he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Why? Because it was lunchtime. That's the next thing on the schedule. When we got back home from the hike today, the first thing on the schedule was a nap. That was on the schedule. The next thing on the schedule was dinner. The next thing on the schedule was church. After that, it's fellowship. After that, it's probably packing. Then after that, it's going to be bed. We have a schedule. And next week, there's a schedule. Every single day, there's a schedule. There's normal everyday life that goes on. Why? Because we're human and there's life. And we get focused on life. We get focused on the everyday busyness of life. We get focused on the things that... I'm a husband, so I have things that a husband does. I'm a father, so I have things that a father does. It's just part of life. If you're a grandparent, there's things that grandparents do that parents don't do. There's gardens, there's chores. It's summertime here. It's the time to work. Winter's coming. So you got things that in the summertime, when it's light out, when it's warm out, there's just some things that you have to do here in Alaska at this time because you're not going to do it in January. Or it can't be done in January. But are those things a distraction? Can they become a distraction? Life goes on. You know, the trash still comes on Tuesday in Wenatchee. Whether or not my wife is sick, whether or not my child has cancer, whether or not I lose a job, life goes on, trash still comes. If I don't get out to the road, it piles up. So we have life that goes on no matter what. Souls in Alaska still die and go to hell, whether or not you have 3, 4, 5, 10, 12 cords of wood ready to go. Well, you need the wood. You do. It's life. But can our daily pursuits distract us? In 2 Timothy 4, verse 10, we have a man named Demas. A lot of times we assume a lot of things about Demas. It says, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." What did Demas do? We don't know all the details. But could it be that he thought, Paul, wherever you go, boy, you get in trouble. You get beat. You get cast into prison. You get stoned to death. And God brings it back to life. And you have all these things, and I don't feel like dying. I've got a wife. I've got these things going on, and Paul, I'm not going to hang around with you right now because I enjoy this world. I enjoy this present. I don't want to die yet. I enjoy this present world. Maybe his folks are just on the things of life here. And he left the work. He left being a helper to Paul, whatever aspect he had in Paul's work. He forsook Paul. He left the work. Because this present world, the life that goes on, was very important to him. And we can look down at Demas, but how many with us, it's the same thing. We don't even think about joining Paul's team because of this present world. I'm not even going to get involved with that. Let others join and leave if they want. I'm not even going to join. I'll just stay here the whole time. And then no one will think bad. I won't have people write letters saying that I have forsook them because I never even got on their side in the first place. That's where a majority of Christians are at. Philippians 2 verse 21, Paul, speaking of Timothy, says no one is like-minded like Timothy is. And he says, "For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. For all seek their own." They have their agenda. They have life that goes on. Turn over to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. We have careers. We have stuff. Everyday business. So often those things keep us from being available for God. Luke 17, start at verse number 20. 8. Luke 17, verse number 28. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. Let's look back in the days of Noah, verse number 27. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. What were they doing? Well, the same thing we were doing last Saturday. They were enjoying those things. In the days of Lot, what were they doing? Well, the same thing we did today. We ate, we drank, we bought some things. I didn't sell anything today, but I bought some things. If my wife was home, she didn't talk to my daughter today saying, did the blueberry plants get planted? They're sitting on the back porch. And so I think some blueberry plants got planted today. I don't know. They're supposed to be. So these things were all, in the days of Lot, these same things. In his day, same things now. Verse number 29, but the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. When Christ returns, what will you be doing? You'll be experiencing life. You'll be eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage. You'll be planting, you'll be buying, you'll be selling. You'll be involved in life. But as you're involved in life, will you understand that God's coming back soon, and I'm not going to get so distracted with life that I forget that the harvest is not 4 months away. It could be today. In verse number 30, even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day he which shall be upon the housetop, and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. What kind of stuff is in your house? Your life. That's what's in your house. Verse number 32, remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. Remember Lot's wife. What's the big deal about Lot's wife? Sister Susie's not in here. Can I have you three come up here? Brother Jason, you and your wife and your daughter. Yeah, all of you. Can I have you guys over here? You're Lot's son-in-law.
Salty.
Yeah. No, you're the son-in-law. You don't. Brother Gene, can you come up here? You're Lot. And can I have the three daughters come up here? Yeah. Since Sister Humphrey's not here, you're going to pretend to be your mother, okay? And these are Lot's daughters. Lot and his wife and his two unmarried daughters were to head out of town and not look back. So as they're heading out of town, Lot's wife turns around and turns into a pillar of salt. Why? Well, who's back in Sodom? Maybe this guy is not a big deal to Lot's wife. Maybe even she's not a big deal to Lot's wife. But this one down here is. Any other grandkids that are there? That's the grandmother's life. Her kids, her grandkids. They're not all out of Sodom. They're still there. So she's going out of Sodom and she's sees in front of her the shadow cast from the fire being poured out upon her children, and she's hearing screams of those back in Sodom She's probably hearing in her mind, that's my grandbaby. Is it natural that she would turn around and want that? Well, that's her life. I think you can be seated. That's life. We have life that goes on. And God's work goes on. We have life that does not stop when God's judgment is going to come. And we get so involved in life and the things of this life that we're not willing to be used by God. We get distracted by life, just by the things of the world. The things that are just normal. Food and drink and house and children and planting and eating and all those things. We get so distracted by life that God can't use us. In Luke chapter 10, verse 40, we have Martha and Mary. We have Christ there in their home. Luke 10, verse number 40. As Mary is sitting at Christ's feet, listening to him teach, it says, but Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. What was Martha involved in? Life. She was involved in the exact same thing that so many ladies and men have been doing all week long this week. Serving. Being hospitable. Trying to be a blessing to others. That's what she was doing. She wasn't being some wicked, horrible person. She was just so focused on life that she was missing what God wanted her to be doing at that point, at that moment. And we can get so focused on life, so focused on our career, so focused on our agenda that God's saying, listen, I want you to do this. You're at the store and here's this girl that when she leaves today, she's stopping at the bridge and she's jumping in. But I'm sending you there because she needs hope, and you're the one I'm sending to give her hope today. Here's this person at the bank, and you're so focused on your paycheck, you're so focused on getting this put in there because you've got a bill to pay that you're not paying attention that here's this teller that you know something's wrong, and she needs a word of encouragement. She's a believer, and her children are going off this direction and that direction. She needs a word of encouragement. She needs you. I'm sending you there to be a help to her, to encourage her, to get her back on the path she needs to be, that she's been off for a long time. And I'm sending you there to do something, but you're so distracted because you want to get that bill paid. You want that money in the bank. You want to hurry up and get it in there because the new iPhone just came out, and you want to go hurry up and spend however, $1,000, $1,200, whatever it is. You want her to spend that because you want the new iPhone and you're not paying attention to what I want, the agenda I have for you. We get so focused on life. It's normal. In 1 Kings chapter 20, verse 39 and 40, it speaks about a servant that was given the responsibility to guard a man. And it says, as the king passed by, he cried unto the king, and he said, thy servant went out into the midst of the battle, and behold, a man turned aside and brought a man unto me, and said, keep this man, guard him. If by any means he be missing, then shall thy life be for his life, or else thou shalt pay a talent of silver. And as thy servant was busy here and there, he was gone. His servant was just busy here and there. He was busy doing his stuff. But he had a responsibility at that point that he didn't pay attention to. And he lost this man. We can't be busy here and there that we get distracted by what God has for you right now. It may not be calling you to the mission field, but it may be. Maybe God wants you to surrender, but you're so focused on your career, you're so focused on whatever it is, you know, finishing up your years to so you can get up to that next level of retirement, get the next level of whatever. You're so focused on that that you're not even paying attention that God has something far greater than a bigger retirement check. God has something far greater than a nicer car that you can have if you can just work so many more years to save up for it. We get so focused on those things that God can't use us in the harvest. We miss out. They're distracted by life. Last night we looked at that they were distracted by their prejudices. Consider some of the people that Christ ministered to. In John 8, we had the woman taken in the act of adultery. We have Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. We have Levi the publican. We have publicans and sinners. In Luke 7, you have the woman that was a sinner, washing his feet with tears. That the Pharisee, when he saw, says if Jesus was a prophet, he would know what kind of person this was. If we would see the world like Christ sees it, there's a song with that title. I've only heard one time. If we would see the world as Christ sees that, those aren't the exact words, but what do we understand the times that we live in? We can get so distracted with the things of life that we're just not available. Just doing things that are absolutely normal. Doing things that no one would ever think anything of. Doing things that your pastor does. Doing things that every single evangelist in the world does. Doing the exact same things that they're doing. And yet, because our focus is so on those things, that we miss God's call. Christ sent his disciples, he says, I sent you to reap. And yet, where do we see in the account that he sent them to reap? While they were in the city, the woman goes into the city, and the whole city comes out to Christ. Many believe because of her, others believe because they came out and heard Christ himself and believe him. But here's a whole city, he's got to stay a couple extra days just to deal with the souls that they missed out on. They entered into the labor now, after he's done his work and she's done her work, they're able to come in and get involved in that, but they could have been involved in the first part of that. What a blessing they missed. Because they were so distracted with it's lunchtime, Jesus is on the well, let's hurry up, get to the store, we don't like to be in the city of Samaritans, let's don't touch anything unclean, let's hurry up and get in and get out, and just so we can be away from these people and have some food. And what a blessing they missed out on. Partly. They got some of it, they missed a lot of it. What is distracting you that keeps you from the harvest? And for the demo.